Thank you.
Okay, let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Exodus, the third chapter. Exodus, the third chapter. It is a privilege to be speaking at the Mission Conference, getting ready for our faith promise. It's, as you know, it's dear to my heart, and it's a privilege for me to be here. Thank you, Brother Jody, for letting me have this privilege. Exodus, the third chapter. You know the story well of Moses at 80 years of age, sheep herder in the backside of the desert near Mount Horeb, and all of a sudden he saw a bush on fire. And he turned aside to see it, and God spoke to him out of that bush and told him to draw nigh hither and take your shoes off your feet from your own holy ground. And then he said, let's pick it up in verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and Hittites and the Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites and all the other ites there. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, we thank you for this privilege of being here tonight. Thank you for Brother Abbott and Brother Irvin, Lord, the great works they've done in Russia and France. And thank you for all of our missionaries. We support about 100 almost. And I just pray that you would bless each one of them, and Lord, give them souls for their labor. Now challenge our hearts tonight to be servants of Jesus Christ and live for him and do his will while we have life. And Lord, anoint me and help me now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One of the greatest privileges we have in this life is to serve the Lord. I'm glad the Lord has permitted me to spend my life serving the Lord. I've been preaching 57 plus years, and now I'm retired pastoring in this church, but I'm not retired from preaching. I'm going to preach as long as I can crawl to the pulpit. Think of the day I kicked off in the Sun Bowl many years ago in 1953, January the 1st, and now I can't hardly get up. I couldn't hardly get up last night out of the chair to get in the pulpit. But as long as I can get to the pulpit, I'm going to fight the devil and exalt Jesus. And I'm... Everyone ought to be in full-time service for the Lord. If you work in a plant or an office or in a classroom or wherever you work, that ought to be a sideline for you. Your job ought to be the place to help you pay the bills as you serve the Lord. That's what you ought to look at. And you who are bench warmers and have not given yourself to glad service to Jesus Christ, you'll be ashamed one day when you have to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and stand there. Yeah, you'll be saved, but you'll be ashamed when you stand there if you haven't given your life in service for Christ. You'll be saved so as by fire, you make it by the skin of your teeth. Now, I don't want to be a bench-warming Christian. I know every team needs a good bench, and a lot of times people say, is no better than your bench or your substitutes. But I never did like to sit on the bench when I played ball. My last 5 years, 2 years in high school, 3 years in college, I started at left guard, never gamed except the ones that I was injured in just a time or two. And I chose to go to Southern Mississippi rather than go to Ole Miss because Ole Miss had a national championship team then. And if I'd have gone there, I'd have probably been sitting on the bench as a second and third teamer. And I went down to Southern Mississippi where I could play ball. But Christians, listen, for heaven's sake, get off the bench and don't be satisfied with just warming the pew. Get busy in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember we played at the University of Tampa one time. We were supposed to win by about two touchdowns. And we got behind, and one of their backs, I was sitting on the bench because I was on the offensive team and our defensive team's on the field. And one of the backs for the University of Tampa broke loose, and he got 10, at least seeming 10 yards ahead of anybody on our team. And he's coming down the field and came right by our bench there where those of us that were not playing were sitting. And there's an old boy, he's a bench warmer sitting by me. He didn't even have a headgear on. And that Tampa boy, he was 10 yards ahead of any Southern Miss, and he was headed to the Twin Stripes. And this boy run out there without a headgear on and smeared that fellow right in front of the bench. Now, we had to keep our headgears on at the halftime. They were throwing things at us and everything. But they awarded him a touchdown, but I sort of admired that fellow. He just couldn't take it as that boy was going to toward those Twin Stripes. And he ran out there. He had to get into action. Now, some of you bench-warming Christians need to get excited about serving the Lord. And you know, you ought to run out there and tackle a devil or do something for God. You know that? And get busy serving the Lord. Now tonight, I want to speak to you. That's just an introduction to get me warmed up here. Every preacher needs to get revved up a little bit. But Moses' objections to being used of God, I want you to look at these tonight. And Moses was tending his father-in-law's sheep one day when he was 80 years old, as we've already read, on the backside of the desert. And Moses saw this bush on fire. And he was amazed because it was burning but not being consumed. And he decided to go a little closer, and God spoke to him out of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take off your shoes, for you're on holy ground." And God said, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'm going to use you to lead my children out of Egypt, out of bondage, into a land flowing with milk and honey." But immediately, as soon as the Lord told him, "I'm going to use you to bring my children out of bondage," he started some objections to being used of God. And let's notice some of these objections that Moses used to not serve the Lord and God's answers to him. First of all, this first objection, in verse 11, he said, "Who am I? Who am I?" Look at it, verse 11. "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But Lord, you know I'm a fugitive from justice." He said, "You know that I killed an Egyptian, and Pharaoh has at all points a bulletin out for my arrest. And Lord, why, I'm an 80-year-old failure. Here I am, tending sheep, 80-year-old, on the backside of the desert, in this scorching desert. Lord, who am I? I'm just a nobody, and I'm a failure." But now look at the Lord's answer in verse 12. He said, "Certainly I will be with thee. Certainly I will be with thee." And you know, that's all Moses needed as he went back to deliver God's people. And that's all we need today when we go forth to serve the Lord. We just need him. He's the God who is enough. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me. Wherever I may be, if he is there, I count it a privilege here. His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. That ought to be the attitude of every one of God's children. All you need to do as you go serve the Lord is have the Lord with you. And Jesus said in Matthew 28:19-20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching you to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And listen to what he promises. When we go forth, He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Even in Russia, God's, I felt the presence of the Lord over there, Brother Daniel. Now, I believe in education. I spent 19 and a half years in school. I believe in programs designed to reach people. I believe in organization. We're going circles if we don't have an organization. I believe a servant of the Lord ought to be prepared. When we stand to preach or to teach or to sing or to run a bus route, but most of all, we need the presence of the Lord. That's what we need. That's our greatest need. When I came to Gray, to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church 47 years ago, I said, "Lord," I was up in Illinois. I said, "Lord, I don't want to go down to Tennessee unless you go with me." And blessed be God, he gave me the assurance that he was going to be with me when I was out on the hills behind our apartment up there in the woods praying on my knees, "Lord, I don't want to go down there unless you go with me." He gave me the assurance from Exodus 33, 14 and 15. My presence shall be. He told Moses this. And the Lord applied it to my heart and life. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So when I walked back to the apartment, before we started loading up to come down here, the Lord promised me he was going to bless me, be with me for all these years. And blessed be the name of the Lord. He has. He kept his word. The Lord, I remember a few years after I got here, God was blessing, and I was over on the lake praying, and the Lord reminded me he was keeping his promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And every now and then, all these years I've been, every now and then, you say, "Preacher, he's with you all the time." Oh, sometimes I get up and I don't feel God in 40 foot of me, but every now and then, I feel his wonderful presence. That keeps me going, just to feel God is there every now and then. So, Christian, if you'll launch out in glad service, the Lord Jesus has promised that I am with you always. And you don't get that promise, that presence, unless you launch out to serve the Lord. Lord, who am I? Moses, certainly I will be with thee. Then a second objection to being used of God is in verse 13. Moses said, "Well, Lord, they'll say, what is his name?" Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Lord, they'll say, "Who gave you the right to come here and deliver us? Who sent you? What is his name?" Look at God's answer to Moses in verse 14. God said unto Moses, I love this, it's capitalized in my King James Version here, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Moses, tell them, "I am sent you." And that name after that has become a sacred name among the Jews. You know, I believe that Jesus was the God talking to Moses right here. I really do. Because John 8:58, Jesus told a crowd of unbelieving Jews, "Before Abraham was, I am." I believe that was Jesus talking to Moses here. In John 17, Jesus led a crowd to arrest Jesus and asked them, "Whom seek ye?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said, "I am he. I am he." And when he used that sacred title, they fell. You know the story. They fell to the ground because of the power and the authority of God in that name. As we go to serve the Lord, you know, they may despise us. And I know over in Russia, when you run into that, but that's okay. They may say, they may not receive us. They may say, "Who gave you the right to tell me I need to get saved? I'm just as good as you are." And yes, that's right. We can say, "Yes, you're right. I'm no better than you are, but I come in the name of Jesus. I'm his ambassador, and I beg in Jesus' name, be ye reconciled to God." That's the message we have. When we stand to preach or teach or sing or pass out a gospel tract. We have, listen, we have the authority of the Lord God of heaven behind us, folks. So realize that as we go out to serve the Lord. When I stand behind this sacred desk to preach, I know I have the authority, not my authority, but I stand here representing the Lord God of heaven. I have his authority behind me when I stand to preach. I used to be able to jump up and down when I say that. I am a king on a throne. And when I stand to preach, and as you go out to serve the Lord, you have the authority of the Lord God of heaven behind you. Lord, what will I tell them when they ask me, who sent you? What is his name? Moses? Tell them, I am sent you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Then a third objection. Moses had to be used of God. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. But Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. They will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Lord, why? They won't listen to me. They will say, the Lord hadn't appeared to you. They'll say, you probably had too much pecan pie and ice cream before you went, when you went to bed late last night. You had hallucinations or bad dreams. And God answered Moses' third objection. You know how he answered his third objection? It's right in my King James here. Right in your King. He put him in the snake handling business. That's right. Look at verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And just a plain old rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. And so he said, excuse me, folks, I'm just leaving here this place. And finally, and you know, Brother Mayne stood in this pulpit a number of times and said this. He said that in the original here, it says that Moses says he was only afraid of four kind of snakes. Dead ones, alive ones, and big ones, and little ones. Well, finally, the Lord coaxed Moses to coming back. And he said in verse 4, Moses, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. Now, how would you like to obey that now? And Moses didn't run up and say, glory, hallelujah. I've just been waiting all my life to show my, this opportunity to show my snake charming abilities. Now, Moses was probably scared to death, just like I'd have been or you'd have been. Cold sweat popped out on his face. And he shook in his sandals. And he took a handful of his favorite nerve pills to help him with this. Now, you won't find this in the King James Version. But you look in the original, and it's there. It's in the Masoretic text. Laying all joking aside now, Moses still didn't love snakes. But you know what he did? He obeyed God. He took that snake by the tail, and when he did, it turned back into a shepherd's rod. Now, why did God do that? Look at verse 5. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. God was showing Moses. Here's what he's showing. He said, he's showing Moses, you're not going forth in your own power, but in God's power. In God's power. And forth, we go forth to serve the Lord as God's children, that we've been promised we'll not go forth in our strength, but in the power of God. That's been my prayer today. I couldn't hardly get out of that chair and get up here. Like, I said, Lord, you're going to have to strengthen my weakness, you wanted to strengthen it. And I feel the presence of the Lord while I'm up here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so as we go forth to serve the Lord, and certainly over in Russia, you need the Lord's help with all the, it's hard on any mission field, but I'm familiar with that over there. We need the Lord's help. And in Matthew 28, Jesus said, all power is given unto me. All power is behind our Savior. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach or disciple or win people everywhere. And we have the promise of God's power going with us. And as I pointed out, when we go out to serve him, we can be assured of the lull of his presence. Lull, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or the rapture of the church, the end of the age. Lord, they won't listen to me. Moses, what's that in thy hand? And God illustrated to Moses that Moses was going to deliver his people not by human power, but by the power of God. And there, Moses took that rod the rest of his journey on this earth, and that was a sign of God's power. He came up to the Red Sea with that rod. The Red Sea opened and walked across on dry land. He hit a rock and water came out with that rod. Signifying the power of God. Well, let me give you one other objection. And we all have used this objection right here. He said, I don't have any talent. Look in verse 10 of chapter 4. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Lord, I'm not a silver tongue orator. Lord, I'm slow of speech. Lord, I'm a little tongue tied. I don't have much talent. I've not been to seminary. I don't have a good personality. But God assured Moses already now of his presence and of his authority and his power. Now he needed one other thing that he assures him. He assured him of his divine enablement. Hallelujah. That's what we need. Look at verse 12. Now therefore go, and here's the answer to God to this objection of Moses not being used. I don't have talent. We've all used that. We've all used it. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Nathan, as you go to Brazil, the Lord will enable you, son. He'll enable you. Thank God. Thank God. And the Lord proceeded to use a tongue-tied 80-year-old sheepherder to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Now, let me bring it down where the rubber meets the road here tonight. You may not be brilliant. Not too many of us are. You may not be too talented. Now, not many of us are. You may not be a well-educated person this evening. But you know what? That doesn't matter to God. That does not matter to God. He can use you with or without talent. He can use you with or without an education. He can use you with or without a good personality or any special gifts. The Word of God says, power belongeth unto God. Hallelujah. And if you will but yield yourself to the Lord tonight, everyone in this building, everyone, if you will just yield yourself, everyone that's saved, if you've been born again, if you'll just yield yourself to the Lord, he can take you with or without talent and use you, I'll guarantee you, for his glory. Because he's God. He has all power. God took D.L. Moody, an uneducated shoe salesman, and made a great evangelist out of him, and he shook two continents for God. He took Peter, the apostle, a rough, uneducated fisherman, and used him to win 3,000 souls to Jesus Christ at Pentecost. And the Lord can bless and use anyone in this building. If you're saved, here's the only thing to hinder you. If you will yield yourself completely to Jesus Christ, he doesn't need your talent. He just needs you to be surrendered and yielded to him. That's my message to you tonight. You need the Lord's help. You need the Lord's presence. You need the Lord's power in order to serve. And it's available. It's available. I fought to call to preach for 4 years. Didn't fight to call. I just didn't. And the Lord knew I didn't fight it, but just I didn't think I could do it. I was scared. I wouldn't mind getting out on the football field playing football. But when I got up in front of people to talk, I just didn't Couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And the Lord knew that I didn't rebel against his call. I just didn't think I could do it. But finally, one night there in Mississippi Southern, I got up, went on the golf course, and the Lord, that call, the Lord woke me up with a call to preach, that desire to preach, something I couldn't shake for 4 years. And I told the Lord, Lord, best I know how, you're calling me to preach. And if I make the biggest flop they ever got behind a pulpit, I'm going to preach. And you know what? As soon as I surrendered to him, he started using me a little bit. He's waiting on me to surrender. And then he started using me. And it was at the point of my surrender that he started using me. And you will find God's help and God start using you if you'll just yield yourself what you have preached. I don't have much. Oh, listen. It'll surprise you how the Lord can use you. He can bless you and put his power in your life and use you for his glory if you'll just surrender to him. That's the only thing that's keeping you from being used of God. You just got to come to the place of entire surrender and entire dedication to the will of God for your life. And then say, Lord, use me. And he'll fill you and use you for his glory. If you don't have the talent, don't have the person, he'll use you anyway. His power can make you what you ought to be. Let him have his way with thee. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Brother Gary, all to Jesus I surrender. And folks, thank you for coming tonight. I believe this is the message God had for me to preach. The Lord wants to use everybody in this building. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm not satisfied with my Christian life. I want God to use me and fill me with his spirit and use me for his glory the rest of my days on this earth. Tonight I'm going to ask you to come and get on your knees right now and say, Lord, fill me with the spirit. I want to be used of God. Lord, I take the reins of my life and put them in your hands. From now on, I surrender everything to you. Why don't you come and tell me? Lord can use you on that bus route. He can use you in that Sunday school class. It'll amaze you how God can use you if you just come and get on your knees and make that surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sunday school teacher, do you want to be used of God in that class? Bus captain, you want to be used of God on that bus route? Won't you just come tonight and say, Lord, I want you to bless my life. I want to be used of God. Let's sing. You come. The altar's open right now. Just slip on down here and say, God, I want you to use me. I want to get on my knees. I want the Lord to use me. The rest of my days on this earth, I want him to use me. If God's speaking to your heart, come on. If the Lord is, the Holy Spirit can fill you. Playing through this outstanding message.
speak in my heart, preacher. I appreciate the message. For God to have his power. It's humanly impossible, as preacher said last night. It's amazing. Somebody yields their life to the Lord. How he breaks that life. And he does so much more with it than that person could ever do. Lunch is a picture of our life. If the boy had kept it for himself, he'd have fed himself. But when he gave it to God, God fed thousands. Only God can do that. This is a challenging message. What a great night the missions night. What a blessing to hear these missionaries doing the job for God and hear our preacher. My Moses preached on it tonight. This is one reason, I know I'm going on a little bit, but we'll conclude here in just a moment. This is one reason I identify with Moses. Moses is one of my heroes. Because he said, Lord, I stutter. I'm so speech. Identify. I'm living proof that when you serve the Lord,
that's right.
He takes your weakness and he makes it one of your strengths. Presence. Brother Butch, these other missionaries, Brother Gallion, my preacher, God's been good to us. There's a lost world, but they need Jesus Christ. He wants to use me.